I don't know why, but for some reason, all sorts of strange and ridiculous things can be said by people about Eretz Yisrael, and they get away with it. I don't know what it is, there's something about Eretz Yisrael that confuses people. They don't have a solid hashgacha. What do we do with this country? So I'm going to try and at least in some way clarify some of this confusion. It's not going to be an easy job, so I think I'm going to take my jacket off. It'll make it much easier. All right. Kai will be next. Haggadahs can be dangerous for your health. Here I come across this Haggadah of a collection of great things that was said by an other Gadol, but truly an other Gadol. I'm going to read one little paragraph. And this paragraph is taken from another Sefer. It was then translated into English. When I came to somebody's house and I saw the translation in English, I thought somebody finally got smart and got rid of that silly paragraph. They don't know, there it was in full color in English. On the Haggadah, little paragraph. Says the following. Ilu nosam lo was hatara v'lo hikdi son of Eretz Yisrael dayenu. Would God have given us Torah and not brought us into Eretz Yisrael? That would be enough. Quote the so-called alleged statement by this true giant in Israel. Mano alu elu hasunin es hadagesh al Eretz Yisrael. How foolish are those who place emphasis on Eretz Yisrael. V'lo al kiyu mitzvahs ha-Torah, not on the fulfillment of mitzvahs of Torah. Every night of Pesach, Onim Hain, below Pihem, they say with their own mouths, Ilu Nas Alonimus HaTorah, would God have given us the Torah? Below Ichmi Son of Eretz Yisrael, and He wouldn't have brought us into Eretz Yisrael? Dayenu! So obviously, we don't need Eretz Yisrael. Don't their ears hear what their mouths say? Et moha, I wonder. What nonsense. What rubbish. I'm going to rephrase it. I'm going to go back one sentence in Dayenu. Ilu kevanu lefnei har Sinai, if God would have brought us before har Sinai, below nasa manu as haTorah, and He wouldn't have given us the Torah, Dayenu. Now comes my restructuring, reframing of this supposed God's great words. Mano, how foolish are those people that place emphasis on Torah. Don't they hear with their mouth, with their ears, what they say with their mouths every night of Pesach, who God has brought us to our Sinai, and not have given us the Torah? Dayenu, that would have been good enough. And tomorrow, I wonder, what's going on over here? Alright, did that make the point? Did it make the point?
Yeah.
This rubbish, this nonsense, was never said by that true other God. And at the bay, some guy was a little off the wall and doesn't have a clue what the Torah Hashkof about Eretz Yisrael is all about. And there are many of them around. You can never know when you meet up with somebody whether he's one of those. So I'm going to try and clarify a few things for you. I'll say in general, the Haggadah has been a problem. The Haggadah has been a problem for a lot of people. I've seen it in all sorts of different places. They ask serious questions about the Haggadah. For example, and these are questions that have to be dealt with. The halacha sivui tzias b'tzchayim is do reish ve'arami oved avi. What's the text of sivui tzias b'tzchayim? So the Mishnah says it, and so Paskins the Rambam Don't that you have to dash into Mahandi Obed or the Archidid or call a parasha cooler until you finish the whole parasha? What's a Rami Obed of the you know it from the Haggadah. I am Yehuda Davi by Yehuda the time of by Yehuda Shalom who said yeah, we darsh in every phrase of Arami Yehuda Davi. Love and wanted and strive to destroy my father. Bikesh love on lacquer as I call. That happens to be Nidra of the Kurim. It is the announcement, it's the pronouncement that a Jew makes when he brings the first fruits to the base of Midrash. Now the Mishnah and the Rambam say clearly you have to dart in the whole parasha. That's the mitzvah of Sibriyatzias Mitzrayim. But you know what? They leave out the last buzzer. Despite the protestations of the Mishnah and the Rambam, there's a last pasuk over there. The last pasuk in Arami Yovid Adi is Vayivienu El Amakom Hazen, brought us to this place. Vayiten Lomelis Aoretz Hazos, and he gave us this land. Eretz Tzavas Kalof Unva, a land flowing with milk and honey. Why isn't that pasuk in the Haggadah? What's happening over here? It would seem to be a stark, naked contradiction of the Halakha. Halakha says Dorish is called a Parsha Kula. We know that there are Arba Lishonos Shel Geula, and therefore there are four Kosos of Seisi, Bitzalti, Bitzalti, Bitzalti. So of course there are those who ask the question, but there is a fifth one. The fifth one there at the beginning of Parsha Bo is the Hebeidi and Tenelhoras, I'm going to bring you to the land that I swore to your fathers to give to you as a Morashah. That the Hegdesi of Kalaritz does not appear in the Haggadah. This seems to be a plot against Eretz Yisrael. You don't say the Pasuk by Yidiyenu Malavakam Hazeh. You don't say the Hegdesi of Kalaritz. So what indeed is happening over here? There's another thing that can be dangerous for you. Not only these newfangled Haggadahs that come out that you have to be careful about, but I don't know if you've ever spent a Shabbos or a Friday night in a shul here in Eretz Yisrael. You most probably have when you're off of yeshiva, wherever you may go. So you find a whole shul strewn with parasha sheets. Wow. All kinds of parasha sheets. So here there was one parasha sheet that came out before Pesach, which was an addendum to the Haggadah. You're asked to slide it into your Haggadah, and at the appropriate place, you start saying all of these psukim and mamori chazal, and it says on the front page, this is in order to make up for the absence of the pasuk by the angel of Amakom Hazeh brought us to this place. So somebody decided that, well-meaning, that the Haggadah needs to be corrected. We have to do something about the poor Haggadah. And then there was another parasha sheet in which a fellow writes that he doesn't know how religious Zionists sit down to the Seder and say a Haggadah that there just is empty of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore he makes a suggestion. His suggestion is you should have a fifth cup of wine. And on the fifth cup of wine, you say, it's the fifth lashon of Geula. The fact is that there are some in Hagavad this Lord going back. The point I'm going to make is, Chachmei Yisrael, most probably was it might even have been Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that wrote the Haggadah. They were not stamp brilliant. They must have written the Haggadah with Ruach HaKodesh before anybody goes correcting the Haggadah. You know what you better do? Go to the mikveh, fast 40 days, come ask me, and I'll straighten you out about the Haggadah. The Baal Haggadah was brilliant. Oh, what he did, does anybody have any idea where in the Haggadah does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story relating the mitzvah, of relating the story of this guy. Where does it begin? I won't yell at you. Don't worry. Anybody have a clue where it begins? No, he says Rabbi Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Gamliel is really saying, if you didn't say these three things, and you didn't say anything you said before, you are not Yosef. But by the way, you said very good. Because Rabbi Gamliel, when you're on there, close to all I spoke to for him, Pesach, so much, does not mean one would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. It actually means one would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Sikkur, Mitzvah, and Sikkur. But all right, you invite me back for Pesach, I'll give you a share on that. Same good. No, it begins with, all right, one more guess. The Mahmishtan. Come again, show it. This is where the sequel has to be through the vehicle, the means of question and answer. And then the answer begins with Avodah Vayinu L'Paro V'Mitzrayim. Where does it end? Where does Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim end? You better remember all of this till next Pesach, because it's going to be very, very important. The last paragraph of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Bechol dor b'dor chayiv adam lidot et atzmon ki'ilu hu yotzo mi'Mitzrayim. That paragraph, the last paragraph of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the second half of the Haggadah begins with Hallel, Shevach Otzor. You first we tell the story, and then we praise the Levitical. Right after the paragraph of Bechol dor b'dor, it says, "Lefichach anachnu chayovim lahodos lahalel lishabeam lelenem laade lahalel lekalis lemisha also long lahavestayim." I want to read that Bechol dor b'dor for you, and I'm going to bring your attention to the brilliance of the Baal HaGadah. Listen now to the last sentence of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lo et avoteinu bulvad gol hakadosh baruch hu, not our fathers alone, that the Holy One, blessed be He, redeemed. Ela avoteinu gol hakadosh, He also redeemed us with them. Us too. Me, you, all of us. Shenema. There's going to be a pasuk now. This pasuk is the last pasuk of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Listen carefully to this pasuk. Va'otanu hotzi misham, He took us out of there. L'man havi'otanu, in order to bring us. L'tetlan v'ta'aretz asher nishba'al avoteinu. He took us out of the time in order to bring us to the land that He promised that He's going to give it to us. The land that He promised to our fathers that He's going to give to us. End of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where does this pasuk come from? This pasuk comes from Parshas Vayeskanan in the parasha of the Ben HaKhor. Ki Yishol Chavim Chavav Arleim Almoh Ha'edus Akutim Ha'mishpat Mashiach Tziv Hashem Al-Kenu Atem. Who's saying this? You know who's saying this? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it to the generation that's going into Eretz Yisrael. You know what we're going to hear right now from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu himself fulfilling the mitzvah of Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim to all of Klal Yisrael. Your son is going to ask you, so you know what you should tell him? This is to the Ben Chacham. And then you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says? That last pasuk in Sikkur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He took us out of there in order to bring us to the land that He swore to give us. You know the significance of that pasuk? Awesome, the significance of that pasuk. It's the only pasuk that makes a direct connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bias HaAretz. It's the only pasuk that says that the purpose, the goal, the objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Leman. Leman always means the ultimate goal. The only person that makes an absolute direct connection that the two are strictly intertwined. The purpose, the goal, the objective of Yitzchak Mitzrayim was so we should come into where it's started.
You're going to tell me, hey, wasn't the purpose that we should receive Torah at Har Sinai? Yes and no. Don't jump. The purpose of Yitzchak Mitzrayim was that we should get to Eretz Yisrael, but we must pick up Torah on the way. Because the only way there will be a Jewish people, the only way there will be a Kiddush HaSaaretz, the only way there will ever be a relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Beit Lehem is through Torah and in Eretz Yisrael. So the purpose of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, he wants to bring his people to Eretz Yisrael. But you need to get Torah on the way. I mean, there are people on their way to Eretz Yisrael, they'll stop at ABC Trading on the east side, and they'll order a big 700 cubic, who knows what, fridge. You need a fridge, you need an ice cream maker, you need a corn popper on your way to Eretz Yisrael, right? Poor guy doesn't know, he'll never get the fridge into a door in Eretz Yisrael. But alright, let him find out later. Klal Yisrael marching to their destiny as Am Hashem are going to Eretz Yisrael, but they've got to pick up Torah at Har Sinai. You know what the Baal HaGadol did? He knew that he didn't write the Pasuk of Vayivyeinu al HaMakom Hazeh. He knew that he didn't write the pasuk of the eighth base, the fifth lashon of Zulu. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to do something that's better than both of those psukim. Because both of those psukim do not make the connection to Yitzchak Mitzrayim. The Rebbeinu took us out of Mitzrayim, he brought us to Sinai, he gave us man, and he brought us there to Zulu. There's no way of knowing from those other psukim that the purpose of Yitzchak Mitzrayim was there to Zulu. The only pasuk that says that is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu, the great manik of Klal Yisrael, in his Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim, uses that pasuk. So therefore, anybody who's going to tell me this kind of nonsense, listen to what you say in Dayenu. Those who place emphasis on Eretz Yisrael, who needed Eretz Yisrael? Him who not alone was our Torah, if he wouldn't have been our Torah, but why would you settle Eretz Yisrael? Ridiculous. I tell you, one of the things I would say for two is I published a Haggadah before Pesach, the Haggadah called Lein Shimudim. Not my Haggadah. Our God of a giant in Chayisol, the Bau Orach HaShulchan. Let me tell you how the Orach HaShulchan learns Dayenu. Well, that paragraph, those few lines in it. It says, Ilu, Kevanos de Hasea, Dabra, how do we learn that? If he would have brought us to Har Sinai, the Lonos and Lonos HaTorah would not have given us Torah. Well, how do you learn Shabbat? This is a rhetorical question. You're too scared to get the answers anyway. What does it mean? What it brought us to Har Sinai, not giving us Torah. What's going on here? So what are we going to do here? It's going to talk on jeep rides in Sinai, you understand? It brought us to Har Sinai, but not someone else after. So the Baal Orach HaShulchan says, Chas v'Shalom, it doesn't mean he wouldn't have given us Torah. Of course he's going to give us Torah. You know what he said? It's so beautiful. The Rishon not only told us Torah, he gave us Torah. The moment that he transmitted Torah to us, for all time, the one who will decide in Halacha, Klal Yisrael. Lo b'shamayim he, it's not in heaven anymore. The great machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua by Talmud Noyman, Rabbi Eliezer said, let the walls of the Beis Medrash prove that the halachas like me and the walls of the Beis Medrash started to crumble.
Let the passcode prove that Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer said. And a passcode came out from heaven and said, Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yoshua pounded on the table, not afraid of all the whole world in collision, and he tells Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Bashamayumi, that the Bashem gave us Torah. The Yukimun Yibis Chatogan, he departs to him. The decision is made by us. In Dayenu was saying the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nosan Lalu Torah. He gave us Torah. He entrusted it to us. We become the disciples of Torah. A Navi cannot paskin. A Chacham paskins. Then Ilu So the Orach HaShulchan says, what do you mean? Lo hichni sonu. Chas v'sholem, God swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he's given the kibbutz. What do you mean? He says, no, you know what the pshat in Dayenu is? We could have come to the Yarden, throw a pontoon bridge across the Yarden, and start crossing the Yarden ourselves. Go like any war in the army goes, but that's not what the liberation did. He split the Yarden. He brought the walls of Jericho tumbling down. Ilu below Hichni Sonu. He took us by the hand and brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Nonsense to learn. We wouldn't have given us Eretz Yisrael. No, we should float around the desert. What would we do? And then, Ilu, if he would have brought us into Eretz Yisrael, Bon Alonu as Beis HaBechida, Bon Alonu, we could have done it ourselves, we have Kavanim, we have people who know how to build. But the Beis HaBechida became our partner in building Bon Alonu, Bon Alonu. Clarify fully how I believe an intelligent religious Jew is supposed to look upon Eretz Yisrael and the events of our time. I'm going to tell you a Rashi. Now, this Rashi should blow your mind. There are going to be two small Rashis as an introduction. Rashi 1. Parsha Shema Yisrael. I don't know why. Somebody's going to have to make a flag with this Rashi. It's an unbelievable Rashi. First, those things I remember today, Rashi says, Lo yiyu be'enecho, they shall not be like a diyut gema, like a decree of a king, an old diyut gema yeshana, She'ein Adam Sovna, that a person finds no value in it. Eloka Chadosha, you have to see Torah every day, that it's new. Cha'kol Rashin Likrosa, everybody runs to study Torah. And then Rashi says, I'm Parshas V'hoyom Shavala, V'hoyom Shavala Tishna Mitzosai, Hashem Arokim Mitzaveh, Mitzaveh Samayom. Rashi says, She'yu Aleichem Chadoshim, Torah should be new, exciting, exhilarating every day, as though you've got it for the first time now. Now comes a Rashi at the end of Parshas Bo that should just set the stage for everything that we're going to say. It's one of the four parashas of Tefillin. At the end of Parshas Bo, go higher to you, and it will come to pass with the clear path when God brings you an Eretz HaKanani, Kasher Ibala Lecha Laotecha, as he swore to you and your fathers, Unitana Loch, and he will give it to you. Listen to the words of Rashi. Tehe Be'enecha, Eretz Yisrael should be in your eyes, Ki'ilu nitana l'cha, as though God gave it to you, bo b'yom, today. every one of us has a responsibility to look upon Eretz Yisrael as though it was given to me personally by the Kabbalah today. It should not be like an inheritance on your fathers. That's not a Rashi that should go through your kishkat. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael every day as though it was given to you. To you. What about when we finally come to the day on which Eretz Yisrael was given to Klal Yisrael? Oh, how we have to look upon Eretz Yisrael on that day. You know what you have to do? You have to appreciate the great gift that the convention gave to our people in our time. The story is told of a person during the Shoah who had a terrible, terrible job. His job was burying small children who had been gassed. Worst job you can imagine. Some years after the Shoah, somebody asked him, what was the worst moment? What was the worst moment? During all of your terrible experiences, what was the worst moment? He thought for a moment and he said, the day of liberation. What? What do you mean? The day that you were liberated? Yes, he says, the worst day was the day I was liberated, the day the Americans came into the concentration camp and took it over. Pray, tell me, Rabid, what was so terrible about that day? They lined us up, American soldiers lined us up outside, where we had to line up every day. And they began to ask, inmate by inmate, now three, what are your plans? Where are you going? France, Holland, Australia, England, United States. They came to me. I had no place to go. I had no place to go. Everybody had a place where to go, except 850,000 Jews who remained alive in the concentration camps. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted them. You have to know this. You think it's so simple, you get onto your plane in Kennedy, and 9 hours and 45 minutes later you're here. And like all of us, you complain, it was too crowded, it was too lean, it was too heavy, the movie was lousy, I wouldn't see it on Earth, I'm certainly not going to watch it by Shemayim. The meal left a great deal to be desired, a great deal to be desired. Jews had no place to go. I went to Google this morning, and I pulled something off the computer. I remembered it as a child. I was such a child that if you do it yourself, if you'll just type in, where can we go? You'll get about 11, 12 pages. There was a song that was written before the Second World War. You used to hear it on WEBD. WEBD, that was a Jewish station in New York. Ruahim Belagain, Bebeden Ferdinir, a soulful, mournful song. Where will I go? Nobody wants me. Who's going to take me? I'm hated and persecuted throughout the world. Everybody has a place, except me. I don't have it. It became the song of the Jewish people during the Second World War. Everything was closed. Everything was closed. There was no great gift of Eretz Yisrael at the time. And I don't know why Google does this, but it was very edifying. What they printed out with it was the story of Canada. Canada? Great Canada. Canada, Canada. All my children were born in Toronto. All right, my wife is from Toronto. I'm from Williamsburg. America wasn't that much better. During the Second World War, the Canadians were taking 20,000 Jewish children. And Mackenzie King, what a watcher he was, Mackenzie King. He doesn't have place. That sent Canada now to take in another 1 billion people and not feel it. But there was no place for 20,000 Jewish children. After the war, May 3rd, 1947, 2 years after the war, there are still 750,000 Jews in displaced persons camps in Europe. No place where to go. Canada wakes up. Oh, and they give permission for 1,000 young people to be admitted into the country. 1,000. Wow. This is godless. And here is 1,000 orphans. So one of the orphans writes, they would not take an orphan unless they were perfectly healthy. And that was described as if you didn't need glasses. You had to have somebody that was going to put up bond for you, that they were going to pay for all of your expenses so that Canada wouldn't have any expenses. And round about May 3rd, 1947, they announced that 50 orphans have arrived. And there may be another small group after that. That's the chesed of Canada. To show you. That was the rest of the world. The rest of the world was no better. There was no place where to go. Do you understand this Rashi? The Rashi we just learned. For 2,000 years, Jews couldn't even relate to the Rashi. It should be Be'enecha like you received it today. What are you talking about, Rashi? We don't have it. We're the first period in history in 2,000 years where the Levitation did give it to us. We're the ones that can now take a look at that Rashi and understand what he's saying. Tehevei Necho, it should be in your eyes like the Levitation gave it to you today. It shouldn't be like Yerushas Avos, something that you inherited from your father that you can squander. Give away, throw away. Or maybe not even relate to it as something of value. I always wonder, there's the famous Rav Shimon Yochai. It's there at the beginning of the Sefer Brachos. I don't know. Hey, Yom Ha'alot, Vav Ha'alot, Gimel Matanos Tovos are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people. The Chulam Lo Nitnu El Adei Surim, all of them were given only with suffering. And what are those three? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. I never heard anybody say, Torah, that's a real beautiful, beautiful gift. No, thank you. Well, yeah, saying I promise, yeah, keep your mouth shut. The reason Olam Haba is Hakutazar. But, keep your Olam Haba. And with a certain lightheartedness, one who would never dare dream of thinking it with regard to Torah or Olamah, there is a soul, Matana. Was there. Large, thriving Orthodox community has shown me total mitzvahs in Kutzlaritz. Don't dream of Matana. You want to hear a revolutionary Kamat Halak, I'm ready to say. Oh, be revolutionary. So what? What was that last pasuk in Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim? Well, son who hopes in Hisham, God took us out of there in order to bring, he took us out of Mitzrayim in order to bring us there. So, you know what I hold? The only Jew who fulfills the mitzvah of Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim optimally is the Jew sits in Eretz Yisrael and says it. Because you know what he can say to the Rebbeinu Shalom? You took us out 3,500 years ago in Mitzrayim. What was your goal? What was your objective? To bring us there to Israel. I made it. It was a long journey. I made it. What's the Jew in Chutzlarts going to do? So here's another chiddush. You know what my chiddush is? Before Sibu Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know what you say? Before a Jew can start saying Sibu Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know what he has to say? Rebbeinu Shalom, my intent, my hope, my yearning, my longing is Hashat HaHocha and the Shana HaBohar of Yisrael. Or, if that's your frame of mind, now you can start saying Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because you understand that the journey doesn't end. The great journey from Mitzrayim does not end until you come to Eretz Yisrael. And if a fellow forgot it after the four curses, he's reminded again at the end when he says, Lashona HaKol B'Yerushalayim. There was a gathering at the Binyanei HaOmah last night, a gathering of religious Jews marking the Yom HaZikaron, marking the Yom HaZikaron, and then it was profoundly moving evening. One of the speakers was Professor Yisrael Oman, the one who was awarded this year the Nobel Prize in economics. Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, Kippah Seruga, and a man who lost his son Shlomo in the Milchemet Shlom HaKalil, the war in Lebanon in 1982. It's an unbelievable story. If you want to know the difference between Klal Yisrael today and what Klal Yisrael was, there was a great, great Talmud Chacham, a Gadol B'Yisrael who lived in the city by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Gusman. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Netzach Yisrael in Rechavia. He was a member of the Beis Din of Rabbi Chaim Eizer in Vilna. That is Yeshiva, it's the corner building, Ibn Ezra and Ramban. He was very close with Professor Oman, and he went to the Levaya of Shlomo. On the way back from the Levaya, Dr. Goldfein, who unfortunately passed away just a few months ago, also a Tayyid, took Rav Gusman to the Levaya and brought him back. On the way taking him home, he says, Dr. Goldfein, take me to Professor Oman's home. I want to go there first. Rav Gusman comes in. The family had just returned from the funeral and they were sitting, Shiva had begun. And Rav Gusman comes in and he says, Professor Oman, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what's taking place right now, Bashamayim. I had a little boy, Mashallah. Germans came into the Vilna ghetto one day and they began to round up little Jewish children and threw them into a truck. They grabbed my Mashallah and my wife held on to him. She wouldn't let him go until she was beaten. And they took little Mashallah and they threw him into the truck. We never saw him again. In their hand remained a little shoe, Mashallah's little shoe. Rav Gusman turns to Professor Oman and he says, Professor Oman, you know what's happening right now? Bashamayim, my Mashallah there is greeting your Shleimallah, and my Mashallah is telling your Shleimallah
Shneimala Ashrecha Shezalchisa, you were Zeicha to give your life fighting for your people in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't have that great zechus. Professor Oman stood up and he embraced Rav Gusman and he told him, Nichamtani, Nichamtani. In this story we see the difference between a Klal Yisrael over 50 years ago and a Klal Yisrael today. We also may be able to get a little bit of an insight in what it means, 22,000 young people who gave their lives so that we can live here, we can thrive, we can grow, we can study Torah. Oh, do we owe them? Do we owe them Hakaras HaTov? It was an experience that I had last year and I had it again today. And I reported on it last year. I was standing on Rehov Karen Ayesod when the siren went off. 20 seconds into the siren, I was choked up. 40 seconds into the siren, I felt tears. In the middle of the second minute, I was crying. I'm a stickler, tough guy, but I'm not tough anymore. And you know what I felt? That moment when I was able to feel the pain of fellow Jews was one of the most Jewish moments of my life. A person can say, kill him 1,000 times and not shed one tear for one soldier. You can learn the Shnayas a whole lifetime and not be safe to feel the pain of a mother, a parent, a father that lost a child. God forbid there are people who might be able to go through a lifetime without feeling a moment of pain for the Shoah. Oh. So thank God occasionally there's a good book, a good film, and all of a sudden you're safe to feel Jewish. That's being alive Jewishly. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who gave their lives. We owe a debt of gratitude to a Rabbeinu Shleilam with all the tzaddas we have here, and believe me, we have a lot of tzaddas in this country. We have a lot of tzaddas in this country. We're the only country on the face of this earth that leaders of other countries can publicly declare they're going to obliterate us. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We're on the covenant. They're out after us. It's unbelievable. They're out after us. It's unbelievable what's going on. If we truly feel that Rashi, that the Bainsham, it's like you gave it to me, and like you gave it to me today, and I appreciate the gift of Eretz Yisrael, then we of course have to begin to change our priorities. The Jerusalem Post this morning. So you need a guy like me who had a few minutes this morning to read the Jerusalem Post. I can come read you a headline from the front page. Israel overtakes United States as world's largest Jewish community. How do you like that? The last time Eretz Israel had the largest Jewish community in the world was during the period of Bayit Rishon. Do you get that historic statement in your kishkes? It's close to 3,000 years since the last time Jews, the majority of Jews in the world, lived in Eretz Israel. 58 years ago, there were about 600,000 Jews here, and there must have been 20, 30 countries in the world that had larger populations. In 1990, 16 years ago, There was an article in the Jerusalem Post. The article said the following. By the end of the decade or a few years afterwards, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport, and a dramatic change is going to take place in Jewish history. In a decade or a bit more, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport, and at that moment, Eretz Yisrael is going to become the largest Jewish community in the world. Now, I don't have a bad head, but I don't really remember articles in the Jerusalem Post that well that I can quote from 1990. Over here it's a little different because I wrote the article. And the fact is, Jerusalem Post didn't get it right because I happened to be in the States just 3 months ago, and there was a big headline in the Jewish press. Israel, largest Jewish community in the world. By the way, here, Jewish press was far, far more on the mark than the Jerusalem Post. My son called me so excited, I had a son in Beit Shemesh, he calls me, Abba, you know what it says on the front page of the Hamodia today? So I said, I know what it says. Jewish community in Eretz is the largest one in the world. Yeah, how did you know, Abba? So I said, you remember the article in the Jerusalem Post? He said, sure, I remember the article, that's why I called you. You know what it means? What may be a surprise to you, Jewish history is being written here, nowhere else in the world anymore. The American Jewish community may look strong, vibrant, thriving on the outside, but it's growing smaller and smaller, tragically. This is the place. This is where Jewish history is being written. That's what the Rabbeinu Shlomim had in mind. We have a difficult time. There are ups and downs. It's not a simple process. That's life. But the fact is, do you know who you people are? I usually like to say, I don't need any sophisticated proofs that Torah is MS and it's Min HaShemayim or that the Rabbeinu Shlomim exists. Not necessary. All of us here are the fulfillment of so many nevuahs. We are the living fulfillment. I don't have to look any place for a proof that Torah is MS. V'shav Hashem alukech v'shvutcha v'yichamecha v'shav v'kibetcha mikol ha'am v'mashen efitcha Hashem alukech v'shama im yeni dachacha b'kce ha'shemayim v'shami kabetcha v'shami kochecha. We're it. The Rebbe Shem told Rachel Imenu v'shav u'bonam v'vulam, that's us. She cried and the Rebbe Shem gave her the haftacha. We are the embodiment. That's us. We are the fulfillment of the nevuah. I don't need anybody to prove anything to me. If we have been zecher to say Sivu Yitzias Mitzchayim in Eretz Yisrael, if we are zecher to be those who made the journey all the way. About us, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vosanu Hotzimi Sham, he took us out of Mitzchayim, Leman Haviotanu, in order to bring us here. We can look up to the Rebbeinu Shem and say, Rebbeinu Shem, we made the whole journey. We just hope that there are other Jews who will come to their senses and make the rest of the journey as well. This is the place. This is the place. May seem, yeah, everything. Wonderful, beautiful, thriving, growing Jewish communities. Rabbi, the great challenge that you face is not only the challenge of being Shomrei Torah and Mitzvahs to make of yourselves Talmidei Chachamim, but be able in your wisdom have the courage to take the step of saying, this is it, I'm going home. I'm finishing the journey of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It ends right here in Yerushalayim. O sonu hotzini shon, We're part of those who left the Tzayin. We have to know that we must have a sense of gratitude to the Rebbein Sham. I can't understand people who just don't give shevach v'hodoyah l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. After v'hotzanu hotzi misham, then comes the time l'fichach. Anachnu chayovim l'hodos l'chalel l'shabeach u'l'foyah. To the Rebbein Sham did all of this. You know what else we have to do? We have to pray Rebbein Sham. We're in a lot of trouble. The fact is, the only one that's going to get us out of all of this trouble is going to be you. If we do the right thing, we will be safer to that great Siyata Dishmaya that we need so desperately. So here it is, you're here on a Yom HaZikaron. There's a lot of pain in this country. There's a lot of pain. Nobody would have chosen anything else. There's a price that has to be paid. Some people have to pay the ultimate price. And there's a fascinating movement that will take place in the next hour. Me'afela la'ora, from Avel to Simcha, a sense of we have been makir tov to all of those who gave their lives. Now begins the day at which we are makir tov to a Rebbein Shleilam. And the son alecha, Rebbein Shleilam, you know what we have to tell him? We look at your Eretz Yisrael, that matana, as a matana that you gave to us. It's something new. It's not old. It's exciting. It's refreshing. It's something that we cherish with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. Can you do some? May it be the will of the Rebbein that we should know how to be mahalel and mishabeach, that we should be able to, in the fullness of our Jewish Torah personality, say the Rebbein Shleilam, Yashikoyach Gadol, you did great things for your people in our time. We were zeicher to that. Halavai, we should continue to be zeicher to your great chasad. Chag Sameach.
Is it possible to show Shabbat Vodah and Hakar Satov in other ways that are accepted by those that identify themselves with the Medina?
Well, I really don't know whether Eir Olmert is going to say Hallel, but I'm going to say Hallel. I think that that's an acceptable Jewish way throughout history. There are so many, about 86 different communities in history that created the Yom Tov on which they said Hallel. I think that's an extremely Jewish way. What can be more Jewish? I mean, the Gemara at the end of Pesachim that talks that when the division is Matzul Klal Yisrael from Shmafel Le'ora Mechayim, So you say Hallel. I mean, that's a very beautiful day.
So those that don't say Hallel, that it's impossible for them to show?
No, I didn't say that it's impossible for them. I don't know. I know people that make a, they don't say Hallel, but they make a Sudas Hodoya on. I'm not caught up in the minutiae of how one expresses it, as long as one has the brains to express it. But you don't express it unless you feel it. And there are so many Jews, unfortunately, that don't feel it. I don't care how you do it. If you want to jump somersaults and that's the way you show to the nation thanks for having given us this great gift, what he's done for Klal Yisrael in our time, that's okay. To me, it's all acceptable. I don't care. What's that famous story with the Baal Shem, everybody says, the shepherd boy that came into shul on Yom Kippur and started whistling? He didn't know how to daven. He only knew how to whistle. So he whistled. And the Baal Shem says, that whistle, you understand, the malachim in heaven were jumping with joy. That little boy that didn't know how to daven, but he whistled. I don't care what you do. That's it, fellas. I can go. I can go. It's been a pleasure. It's been a real pleasure. Chag Sameach.